Hi, everyone. I'm Jerry Bunkowski, and welcome to the latest edition of the Racing Beat Podcast right here on the Believe Podcast Network. And I have a very, very, very special guest today, Dylan Barley. Now, that may not be very well-known to many of you, but he is definitely going places in the world of NASCAR. He's not a driver. He's not an official, but he does some fantastic graphic works. And more importantly, you know, we had a couple of months ago, we had Jory Elliott, who's become an advocate for mental health and motorsports, and we really got a lot of good feedback from listeners about that. So we're going to be doing something today with Dylan Barley. Dylan is from suburban Milwaukee. He is a fantastic and a huge NASCAR fan. More importantly, though, he does a lot of graphics work for NASCAR, Fox Sports, NBC Sports, and other outlets, and he does all that despite having a very significant handicap, and that is cerebral palsy. I've gotten to know Dylan over the last 6 or 7 years, have become a mentor of his, and kind of helped lead him on the path to get to know a lot of people. I mean, we can put the number of people he knows in NASCAR in the hundreds right now. He's very persistent, he's very educated, he's very intelligent, and he really knows his way around the sport. So I'm really looking forward to today's podcast. So without further ado, let's introduce Dylan Barley, our guest here on the latest edition of the Racing Beat Podcast. Welcome back to the Racing Beat Podcast. I'm Jerry Bunkowski, and it's my pleasure to introduce Dylan Barley. This is a name you definitely need to keep track of. He is going places in the world of NASCAR. A great guy, a great friend. I've been kind of a mentor to him for the last few years. Definitely an inspiration. He has got a very inspiring story that you need to listen to. So without further ado, let's welcome in Dylan. Dylan Barley, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, Jerry. Let's just say I'm doing pretty fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're really riding a big high right now because your Milwaukee Bucks just won the NBA championship, and congratulations to you for that. I saw your video of you celebrating at the buzzer. Man, you went nuts.
Absolutely. Hey, it's the first ever time for my team winning a championship in 50 years. I just enjoyed the moment.
Exactly.
That's what life is all about, enjoying every moment.
That's right. And we're going to talk about that with you because you have got a very, very inspiring story. Let me tell the listeners a little bit more about you. Dylan has cerebral palsy, and he has not let that handicap him, essentially. I mean, he has worked through it, and he has turned into a fantastic individual. And he has really made a lot of friends, a lot of inroads in NASCAR. In fact, what started as a hobby for him several years ago, he was doing these, that's kind of the way he and I first met. He was doing these collages, just on his own, of drivers and then also drivers winning races, race previews, that kind of thing. And I kept on encouraging him to reach out to a lot of people in NASCAR, and Dylan became just an absolutely master networker. I mean, he's talked to probably a couple hundred people at least in the sport, and he can rattle off more names than I can probably rattle off, in terms of people he knows. But the thing is, Dylan, been an inspiring story for the sport. He's been an inspiring individual for people that do have handicaps and things like that. Dylan, I guess the best place to start off with is, let's before we get into how you got into NASCAR, talk about, living with cerebral palsy and how you have never let that keep you down. You've always worked around it. You've always found a way to overcome it. And you really, really are doing a fantastic job. How tell people about, the travails of having cerebral palsy and, where you're at today.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much for the kind introduction, but let me just say for all your listeners out there, just I never stopped working. I never stopped doing what I love, the passion that I have for the sport. Heck, it just took me a while to realized that I had to go deal with this for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know what? Just several years ago, my mom sat me down and said, "What do you want? What do you want to do? What do you want to do in life?" And basically, well, the main goal was number one, meeting my hero Jeff Gordon, and basically, let's just say back in 2015 when he announced he was retiring, I cried on the couch for like half an hour, and I said, "This is make it or break it. You gotta do it, or you'll regret your, you will regret yourself if you don't make this happen." Mm-hmm. And basically, I just sat down and just trying to think, how can I make this happen? How can I make this possible? And you know, when I was in high school, my special educational teacher named Jake Davis that really inspired me for challenging myself to brand new task. And he was the one like kind of helped me get started at networking, and basically, and then after him, my stepfather is just a master at his networking, and he taught me to be a even better one. And at the end of the day, it took 9 grueling months contacting Jeff's team, his PR, basically almost every racetrack telling my story. And at the end of the day, September of 2015, I got to experience meeting my hero for his final year in racing. And let me just say, I still have the picture up on my wall, and I just kind of look at myself then, and I'm like, wow, I actually did it. And you know what? But that's okay, because here's why. Because I just keep going places.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, I never stop working, never stop connecting with people, but because at the end of everything, I'm just truly proud of everything, what I have accomplished. And you know what? Yes, don't get me wrong. I have made a couple mistakes in my life. But you know what? That's okay. We learn from the ultimate best. And you know what? It just makes me as a stronger, individual.
That's right. Very, very poignant. You know, and you know, I've known Dylan, we've become very, very good friends over the last 7-8 years it's been. And the one thing that we've talked about this a little bit over the years, but I think it's important at this point of our interview to kind of interject this. I don't think you've ever met him, but I know you've had some contacts with him. There's another individual that has cerebral palsy who is really making a very big name for himself in the sports world, not motorsports, but in the baseball world, is Jason Benetti. And he's the broadcaster for the Chicago White Sox. Now, I know you've had some exchanges with him and that kind of thing. In a sense, how inspiring has he been to you for what you want to do in motorsports? Has he been kind of inspiring with you with his story in the world of baseball or broadcasting, for that matter?
Well, Jason is such a very class act, and you know what? I kind of found his email through, I think it was you, mm-hmm. and basically told me to reach this guy out. And basically, I think it took me about 3 days for him to respond. And he told me this: if you truly love something, you're gonna push yourself for it. Mm-hmm. And you know, and he says, "Who cares? We have challenges, but at the end of the day, we are human, and you know what? Our challenges face us in many different ways." And let me just say, from that first email, I told Jason, I'm gonna make him proud, and hell, I'm making everyone proud.
You're making me proud, that's for sure, brother. You're definitely making me proud. You are definitely making a lot of other people out there proud for sure. You know, I know you're from suburban Milwaukee. Obviously, a big Bucks and Packer fan, and who knows what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? That's a whole other story. But Yeah, let's go to the beginning. I mean, you kind of got hooked on NASCAR at a very early age. What was it that was it just a TV scene on TV on a race on TV, or what was it that kind of first got you going in and being so interested in getting in, following NASCAR and then eventually wanting to get into it?
Well, Jerry, first of all, like back up to your following questions about me being a Wisconsin fan. Yes, I cheer all of my Wisconsin sports, the Packers, the Brewers, Bucks, and even Badgers. But at the end of the day, I'm the Wisconsin sports guy for life. And with Aaron Rodgers, that's another subject. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But based up on your question, basically, my first NASCAR race, I was 5 years old at the time. My first race was the 2001 Daytona 500.
Oh, wow.
So basically, my mom, my dad, my brother, my uncle, even my sister, like basically, we all grew up watching NASCAR together every Sunday. And basically, because my mom was a Jeff Burton fan, my dad was a Ryan Newman fan. My brother's a still hard Ryan Newman fan. Mm-hmm. And my uncle was a Sterling Marlin fan, and my sister was a Casey Kane fan. So basically, I was the one in the room wearing the 24 hat. So
right.
I'm kind of singled out, just basically I love the cars going around in circles for like 500 laps. And I know on the last lap, Michael Waltrip have won the race, and sadly we lost the greatest NASCAR ever, or the NASCAR driver ever, Dale Earnhardt.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I didn't know what Dale Earnhardt Sr. meant to the sport, but he's a 7-time champion. And basically, he's the intimidator. I remember a while back watching Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt going back and forth and racing together side by side. But at the end of the day, I'm just a loyal fan, just like you. I watch the sport every week. I basically watched it all my life, and I couldn't ever be proud to be called the NASCAR mayor of the sport.
Right. And I want to get into that about the NASCAR mayor part, but I had one quick follow-up. Since you started watching the sport at the age of 12 or 5 rather, when did you get the idea and the inspiration, if you will, to hope that you could become a part of the community, and I mean, obviously, if not as a driver, there's a lot of other ways you could contribute to the sport, through your graphic designs and other ways like that. When did you first begin to think that, hey, my life potentially could be in the world of NASCAR?
Well, basically, when I was maybe 10, 11 years old, and basically, because personally, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and my mom sat me down and saying, "What does Dylan, or how can we make Dylan happy?" And you know what? Just because personally, as a child, I hated having the circumstances that I have today. I just wanted to be like everyone else. And my mom told me this one story, you're a special child with a special gift from the good Lord. And she said, never stop believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because God given you this chance to make something of yourself, make it happen. And basically I'm forever grateful for my family, for my friends. Basically, never stop believing me. Very thankful from the bottom of my heart, being the most fantastic. I'm not gonna call it fatherly picture, but you've been treating me like a son for many years, and I couldn't be any more grateful for having you by my side through.
Well,
it's just one big book.
You're my buddy, man. You're my buddy. I mean, the one thing that I really admire about you, and I also can relate so well to you, and I think that's probably why we've become such good friends. I have a son who has a disability, a couple disabilities. He doesn't have cerebral palsy, but he has learning and developmental disabilities, but he's doing well. He's now, he's 31 years old, and I see a lot of similarities in how you've overcome a lot of the challenges you've faced in with your disability and the challenges he's faced and overcome with his disability. So there definitely is a kinship right then and there, between you and me, not just, about NASCAR, but just in, like you said, in life. And I really, some of the things you've said to me, I've, relayed them to my son and vice versa. And I think that, you guys are to be commended, as is everybody out there that has, disabilities or other challenges that, it's you never, like you said before, Dylan, and I think that's kind of your mantra, never give up. I mean, that you can't get any better and clearer than that. Never, ever give up. So, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about one of the favorite things, and I love this. I mean, and I know a lot of people in the NASCAR world, especially like Matt Humphrey, who's on the NASCAR PR staff. I know he's been a big influence in your life as well. But who came up with the name the NASCAR Mayor? Because that's what you're known as, and you've really become very big in the sport. Because a lot of people, when they hear the word NASCAR, the NASCAR Mayor, they said, "Oh, yeah, Dylan, how's he doing?" That kind of thing. So, how did you get the nickname the NASCAR Mayor? Who gave it to you? Because when people talk about the sport and somebody says the NASCAR Mayor, a lot of people will say, "Oh, yeah, that's Dylan we're talking about." So, who gave you the nickname? And I know you're very, very proud of being called the NASCAR Mayor as well, too. So tell me about that.
Well, Jerry, so basically to follow up with your question, let's just say after when I met Jeff Gordon and back in 2015, and when all the drivers came up to me, shook my hand, basically, we all heard about your story, and basically that's when I knew I wanted to be in the sport. And regarding your question, how did I become the NASCAR Mayor? Well, basically, I contacted almost, Jerry, you're talking about maybe like 200 people from the industry, mm-hmm.
Right.
From the head marketing side through the racing communication side. So basically, Eric Nyquist. That name definitely flows from the NASCAR garage. Basically, me and Eric share a great relationship, and basically he gave me and my family the grand tour of the NASCAR Charlotte office back in 2019, and basically my name just basically flew around there, and you're talking basically everybody from the NASCAR corporate office.
Right.
Saying, is that Dylan? Yes, I'm here. And basically I met Steve Phillips, the NASCAR president.
Mm-hmm.
And I met tons of people, build so many relationships with. And then Eric says, "Dylan, well, your name is not Dylan anymore. Your nickname is the Mayor." And I'm like, "Wait a second, Eric. There's only one mayor in the sport, and that's the Mayor Jeff Byrne."
Right.
So basically, I created the NASCAR Mayor just because I love NASCAR and I'm the Mayor. And basically, from the time that everyone knows me, everybody loves me in the garage, because everybody knows the name Dylan Bowerly.
Exactly. Right. Well, the one thing that I find quite nice to hear about is that you have been received so well, and you're right. I mean, Jeff Burton is known as the Mayor, but the NASCAR Mayor, I mean, you are really starting to make an impact in the sport. What is your aspiration, down the road? I mean, you're what, 20, I think you're what, 24, aren't you, if I'm not mistaken?
I just turned 25 June
25, 13th. Okay, that's right. So I mean, what is your hope for, let's say, for the over the next 10 years? I mean, you've done so much and networked so well over these last 5-6 years. What's the next decade looking like for you? What are you hoping to aspire to do in the world of NASCAR? I mean, is stay in the graphics world of things? Do you want to maybe do other things within the community? I mean, what do you have in your plans? What's your big plan for the next 10 years, Dylan?
Well, yeah, no, Jerry, I never stopped doing the graphics just because I got the NASCAR's copyright consent. So as long as they continuing want me to do it, then I'll do it. And basically to follow up with your question, I just want to be just to be a part of it. Like, I love like being a part of the NASCAR and being a part of the NASCAR executive side. But basically my dream job is I want to create a internship that involves NASCAR and creating an internship that involving with people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like my dream job. I want to just explore, like, because NASCAR has done so much with the African American side, the NASCAR Pride side, and you know, and like, I know there's some people we've been talking about it, but nothing's been flowing around yet. But I'm kind of like at a standstill. Because I talked to the NASCAR Foundation about it, and like, they all love the idea. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's just, we don't know where to put it.
Oh, it'll happen. It's going to take time. I mean, you know, like anything, you know, NASCAR is such a large organization that, yeah, it does sometimes take time to get things done. But I'll tell you, when it gets done, it's going to be done right. And I think that you're going to do a fantastic job being involved in that, because you are, like I said, you're not only just an inspiration, but I mean, you can certainly relate to people with disabilities that, you know, have their own dreams of wanting to be in the world of NASCAR as well, too. But let's take a step back from NASCAR and let's go grassroots racing. You've been at Slinger Speedway, which is in Slinger, Wisconsin, just about 40 miles northwest of Milwaukee. And I know I saw you there a couple of weeks ago when the Superstar Racing Experience competed there. First time that you and I have met, I mean, we've talked countless times on the phone, countless times online, countless chats and that kind of thing. But it was so great to finally meet you. And, you know, you've become kind of the mayor of Slinger Speedway, so to speak, too, because I know you're one of the official greeters there. You have other duties as well. The fact that you're able to connect with so many people who not only know you, you know, from being the NASCAR mayor, but also that, you know, you just, you always have a smile on your face. You always have a good word to say. You really cheer a lot of people up. I mean, you know, there are times like, you know, when people go to, you know, races or watch them on TV or go to concerts or what have you, they're looking for an escape. They're looking to, you know, get away from some of their problems for a few hours. And when somebody sees you, when somebody starts talking to you, I mean, that smile on your face and, you know, your always positive attitude, that just makes people feel so, so good. And, you know, I can't tell you the times that, you know, you and I've talked where I've maybe have been a little down about something and you've cheered me up. And that says a lot about who you are. So tell me about, you know, just your role at Slinger and, you know, the satisfaction, I guess, that you get being, you know, Mr. Nice to everybody, but they're in turn, right, you know, nice right back to you too, as well.
Oh yes, Jerry, I get that a lot from the fans at Slinger, and there's the end of the day, I'm there for the fans, because mm-hmm. that's my job. I'm the official grader of the Speedway, and let's just say I've been doing for the last 5 years.
Wow, it's been 5 years. Wow, I didn't realize it was that long. Time is flowing, man.
Yes, absolutely. And let me just say, basically, how did that get started? Well, can I tell you that story?
I think I know part of this, but go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
So basically, well, kind of back to the networking side is, I contacted Larry McReynolds. I know a lot of people know that name. I basically emailed him through his email, and I just like I explained like what I wanted to do, and then I believe it was 2016, the Dover race. And basically it was like close to dinner time, and I get this call from a private number, and I'm like, well, I really don't answer private numbers. Like if they have a voicemail they want to leave me, then I'll get her right back. And he says, hey Dylan, it's Larry McReynolds. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Basically I didn't get a chance to talk to him that night is because that Monday I needed to have my three wisdom teeth pulled out.
Ouch. So
basically, long story short, basically it took 2 weeks of him to call me back, and basically having dinner with my mom, and then I get another calling from my phone, was a 704 number. I'm like, 704, that's in Charlotte. I'm like, mom, should I answer it? And she said, answer it. It could be Jeff Gordon. I'm like,
right.
So I'm like, don't go there. So basically I said, this is Dylan. He said, hey Dylan, it's Larry McReynolds. How are you? I'm like, oh my God, Larry McReynolds, how are you doing, sir?
Mm-hmm.
I said, thanks so much for getting back. And he says, my pleasure, man. It's great to talk to you. And how can I help you? And he says, and I said, well, Larry, like, I just turned 20, and basically just trying to get my name out there into the sport, and basically, like, what can I do, like, to get a good flow going? And he says, well, Dylan, I'm going to give you probably one of the best answers I can give you. And he says, are you ready? And I said, yeah. And basically, he says, you need to start working at your home track. And he says, do you have a home track in Wisconsin? I'm like, yeah, there's Layers Super Speedway. Mm-hmm. And basically, he said, my advice to you, get a job there, because you're around fans, you're going to be more active, and just get your foot in the door. And let's just say 2017, I applied there for the, how can I say this? Like, I went to the racetrack, I talked to the owners, and basically they kind of had an idea of me being the official greeter of Slinger Super Speedway. And let's just say that means so much to me, is because I love going to Slinger every Sunday night, greeting the best fans ever. And you know, there's some fans who truly love me, and you know, but at the end of the day, I'm just proud to be at Slinger, just being around the action. It's like, truly, it's just at the end of the day, I'm just proud to be at Slinger and just greeting the best fan. And that's exactly what truly life is all about. Cherish moments.
That's right. Well, you know, the going from Slinger back to NASCAR for a moment, you know, one of the biggest things that, you know, has happened in your career is, you know, the networking, like you said earlier, with Eric and then Matt Humphries and a lot of other people that have helped you. But at the same time, you've also encouraged others with disabilities to network as well. Not so much always in NASCAR, but I mean, just in a general terms, that you've encouraged people that have had or have disabilities to really reach out to as many people as they can, because you never know when they may get their own phone call from somebody like a Larry McReynolds that could change their life as well, too.
Oh, yes. And so basically, back to the NASCAR side, and you know what? Matt Humphrey, head racing of communication, that guy means the world that guy means the ultimate world to me. He makes time for me to call me, check up on me. He's like my little brother. And basically me and Matt know each other since 2016. And let me just say, Matt has just been a huge help to me of being a mentor, being the kind of like the softer brother type role.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say, like, from the bottom of my heart, Matt is the ultimate guy to go to. If there's any problems that I have with, I go to him. He's just a great guy in general, and I'm just proud to call him as a mentor, as a brother, but more importantly, as a teammate.
Right. Well, I mean, because, I know Matt very well as well, and Matt, I mean, you're 100% spot on. I mean, Matt is. He's one of my favorite people in the business. And, you know, whenever I need anything, you know, there's other people that have other different responsibilities or duties, but if I can't get in touch with them, or if they're having a problem trying to help me, I'll go to Matt, and he always comes through for me. So I totally understand what you're saying. The one thing I wanted to ask you, Dylan, about is, you know, these graphic things that you have become known for. You started out, like I said, as a hobby, but now you're doing them for NASCAR, you're doing them for Fox Sports, and you're doing them for NBC Sports. You know, that's a huge, huge, huge accomplishment to do something like that for those large entities. I mean, two major sports networks, as well as obviously NASCAR, the sport. Tell me the satisfaction you get for doing that, because people are seeing your graphics, and, you know, your name may not be on there, but most people, I think, already know by now that if they see kind of those kinds of graphics, they know that Dylan Barley is the one that did it.
Yes, sir. Let me just say, back in 2016, as a hobby, I just wanted to see what I can do, and basically just doing it for the winner, just seeing if anyone can just catches my eye. And then Scott Hunter, the head racing photographer from NASCAR,
mm-hmm.
me and Scott go way back since 2020, late or early 2016. I had a conference call with him, and basically just showing him my work and what I can do. Basically, me and Scott talked for about a good hour and a half, and just basically he says, Dylan, I'm gonna work on something for you.
Mm-hmm.
But no problem. But he said no promises. I'm like, Scott, whatever you gotta do, just let me know. Mm-hmm. And then took about 4 weeks, and basically he called me, and he says, Dylan, I have an opportunity. I'm like, what's the opportunity, Hunter? And basically he said, I'm gonna give you NASCAR's copyright consent to do your graphic collages every week for the entire sport. But he said, there's one thing I'm going to teach you right now. Just be the person that you are. Don't bash it. Love the opportunity, because you don't know when the opportunity is going to happen. And let me just say, I'm proud of doing my graphic collages for the cup race, for the winner. Like, I can sure tell you that everyone in NASCAR really enjoys them. Everyone loves me. For having me doing that. And basically with the promoting side, okay, so Scott Keith from NBC back in 2019, he was the one that helped me with my track, my roots with Slinger, and basically giving me the grand opportunity being on Countdown to Green, and
mm-hmm. right,
and Marty Snyder being the class act that he is, because me and Marty go way back too. So basically telling all the NASCAR world about me, and basically me being on the TV time, I'm like, wow, I can't believe it. But you know, and I know Scott Keith, Jeff Benenke, and everyone in NBC. I just, that night was really special, and just at the end of the day, I couldn't be ever more proud being on my track, my route.
Right, exactly. You know, you said something earlier, Dylan, that I wanted to ask you. I got a few more questions to ask you here in the interview here, but you said something about your mom that kind of intrigued me. She said that, you know, you can do whatever you want if you put your mind to it, something to that effect. Yeah. You know, that is probably some of the best advice there is. And one of the things I wanted to ask you in this is, you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but, you know, for the people that are listening that do have disabilities and challenges, if there was one thing that has helped you the most, what would that be? Would it be maybe something like persistence? Would it be something like humbleness, humility? Would it be something like aggressiveness to really, you know, keep going after whatever you want? I mean, what would you consider the number one trait that you have that's made you successful and will continue to make you successful? Is something that others that, you know, want to achieve success in their respective areas, you know, professions, what have you, what's that one thing that you, it kind of defines you, if you will?
Well, Jerry, just, you know, back to the question with my mom, like she was the one that said, like, you're a special child with a special gift, and mm-hmm. and basically telling me you can do anything to put your mind to it. But with other people that have certain types of disability, it doesn't matter. You're still a human. And if you wanna try to cherish something or go with something for your career, no one is stopping you. You're the one that's stopping yourself.
Yep, exactly.
Because of your challenges. And you know what? There's thousands of people out there who have a disability and just say, what can I do? Just sit on the couch and watch TV all day. Yes, that was me when I was younger, but I stopped feeling sorry for myself. And I just, because life is too short to say, I should have, I could have, I would have. And that, you know,
that is very, very, very poignant. There's no question about that. And I hope that, you know, the folks that are listening to this podcast, especially those who have disabilities, take those words to heed, because I've been around a lot of people with disabilities through the course of my life, you know, friends and things like that. My son, like I said, you know, he has his challenges, you obviously. And the one thing that I can say without equivocation is that I admire you folks. I mean, I really, really admire you, because, you know, things have, you know, it's been a difficult road for anybody in this business, no matter who you are. You know, you've had to pay your dues and that kind of thing. And a lot of us, I think, sometimes maybe take it for granted that, you know, we have been able to get to where we're at. Yeah, it took a lot of hard work and persistence and things like that. But, you know, people that have disabilities that overcome those disabilities, yeah, they're going to put in the same amount of persistence and hard work and that kind of thing, but they have that disability in addition to everything else that, you know, that, you know, people that don't have disabilities have to go through. So I really admire that in people like yourself, you know, my son. And again, I've been involved with a lot of people. In fact, way back in my college days, you know, I went into college planning to get into journalism and broadcasting, which I eventually did. But I had two relatives. I had an aunt and an uncle who were both deaf. And I gave a lot of serious thought to scrapping being a journalist and going to become a teacher for the deaf. You know, that's one of the, obviously a very significant disability in and of itself. And yeah. I just felt that, yeah, I could, I mean, I knew the sign language and all that kind of thing, but I just felt I could reach more people and maybe get a message across more to others. And that's why I've always enjoyed being a mentor, not only to people like you. I mean, I like to help people. And that's, I see that in you too. I mean, you don't let your disability, handicap you. You do want to help people and you definitely want to go forward. So, yeah, I guess in conclusion here, Dylan, you know, we've talked quite a bit here over the last 40 minutes or so. You know, you just have just such a great spirit. And like I said earlier, you always have a smile on your face. And when you look at where you're at now, I think one of the things I would, you know, suggest to you, and I'm hoping that a lot of people that listen to this as well, you have a great story to tell. And I think maybe you should also consider, in addition to the graphics, maybe being a public speaker. I think you would really... you know, your story is great. You know, the people you know have been great. The people would certainly, you know, testify to how great you have become in the inspiration that you've done, how you've overcome your challenges and that kind of thing. I really think you could do a great deal in public speaking. I mean, have you thought about that at all?
Public speaking is kind of up there, but not as of right now. I'm more focusing on my stuff. And back to people with disabilities. My cousin, who is also deaf, he was the one who was teaching me on like how can you handle your disability and and basically he just told me never stop learning, never stop quitting, because you're always the winner.
Yep, exactly. And you said your cousin, you said he's deaf, you said?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. I didn't quite catch that, so I want to make sure I had that right. Well, Dylan, yes. Listen, I can't thank you enough for you taking the time here. And I know it can get a little tiring, you know, talking as much as you do sometimes, because, you know, I know that with the cerebral palsy, that fatigue can be an issue. So thank you ever so much for taking the time here. And, you know, like I said earlier, you're my buddy. I really enjoy talking with you, and I really enjoyed being your mentor. And I look forward to being a mentor for many more years to come. And believe me, I'm already saying it now, but someday, you know, before I leave this earth, I'm going to see you in a position where I'm going to be able to say very proudly, I knew that kid back then. I knew him back when he was, you know, just getting into the sport, and now look what he's become. So I wish you continued success in the sport, Dylan. And again, thank you ever so much for joining us here on the Racing Beat podcast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jerry. Anytime. If you want me to be on a guest, just call me, text me. We'll have some fun, and we'll definitely have to do this again.
Sounds good. All right, that's Dylan Barley. We're going to be back with more of the Racing Beat. And again, thanks ever so much to Dylan. I mean, just a great interview, but more importantly, a great guy. So we'll be back with more of the Racing Beat right after this here on the Believe Podcast Network. All right, that's going to put a wrap on this week's edition of the Racing Beat. I'm Jerry Bunkowski, and want to say thanks again to Dylan Barley, otherwise known as the NASCAR Mayor. That's right. Very inspiring story, very inspiring guy, and I hope you got a lot, learned a lot from that, and maybe inspired you or somebody that you know. So, again, thanks for listening to the Racing Beat. We'll be back again next week, and we got a lot of big name guests on the horizon. So, definitely check back with us every week. You're definitely going to be enjoying some of the guests we have in store. So, that's it for me. I'm Jerry Bunkowski. Thanks for listening to the Racing Beat again. We'll talk to you soon, everyone. Take care.